Morning, the book of Genesis, once again, Genesis chapter number 4, as we continue on in our series through the book of Genesis. This morning we're going to be looking at the message entitled, Why Are You So Angry? Why are you so angry? I told Miss Marsha back there in the sound booth earlier, and I always tell them what my title is so they can write it down. It says, Why Are You So Angry? And she looked at me kind of funny, like I was talking to her. I said, it's the title of the message. So it's the story here of Cain and Abel this morning. And when we look at Genesis chapter number 4 this morning, we go back to the beginning, we have some answers here that are found in the book of Genesis that's found nowhere else in history. God reveals certain things to us in these books to help teach us many, many wonderful and powerful truths. And as we look at this morning, I like to just focus on one main topic, is why was Cain so angry? And the question I like to ask in the day that we live in, why is so many people so angry? I don't know about you. You hear about school shootings. You hear about suicide bombers. You hear about people going on revengeful type masquerades many times, and massacres. And you hear people killing people at post offices or in stores. And you just look at the modern day music record albums, and it's like many of those music, the singers, it's like they're trying to look mean and angry and just unhappy. And I don't know about you, but I think we live in a day and a time where we have so much bitterness and so much anger and so much frustration and so much pride that these are some of the character traits we see in Cain this morning. And I like to look into our hearts deep and say, you know, is there something that I'm bitter about? Because usually bitterness builds up and becomes into anger. Is there something I'm jealous over or something I'm prideful about? This is a very dangerous thing to have and to take part. Anger can really destroy your life. Bitterness can really eat away at you. And we see here in this story that Cain, he brought an offering to God, but it wasn't the offering that God had asked for. And because God was not willing to change his mind and do things Cain's way, Cain became so upset, Cain became so angered that he actually killed his brother. Let's look here in Genesis chapter number 4. And let's think about this thought. Why are you so angry? Genesis chapter number 4, we're going to read all the way down through verse number 15. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, just verses earlier in chapter number 3, God had promised her a redeemer. God had promised her a seed that was going to bruise the head and give that fatal blow to the serpent. I think she actually thinks that this is it. But as you see later on, that this definitely wasn't it. And that was going to be many years down the road. Here in verse number 2, and again bare his brother Abel. Some people, commentators, think that they were twins, because it doesn't talk about Adam knowing Eve again. It just talks about that she bare his brother Abel. I don't think it really matters. But the important thing to remember here is that Cain and Abel, they grew up in the same house. They had the same family. They had the same privileges. They had the same opportunities. You say, why is that important? Because so often people like to blame their bitterness, their anger, their situation. They like to blame it on their father's side or their mother's side. They say, it's my grandfather's fault I'm like this. It's my grandmother's fault. You know what? Cain couldn't say, it's because my grandmother was like this, because Cain didn't have a grandmother. I mean, it's this idea that we are all accountable to God for ourselves and our own actions. We like to try to cast the blame, as Adam said, it was this wife, God, that you gave me. He was blaming God. He was blaming his wife. Eve said, you know, Eve didn't say, you know what? I did sin. What does she say? It's the serpent. You know, they like to blame everybody else. But this morning, I want us to focus in on and ask ourselves, is there something in my heart and life that is causing bitterness or anger and causing me not to serve and do the things I should? Let's see here, verse number 2. And again, she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which have opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in word of prayer and ask the Lord's help this morning. Lord, we are definitely in need of your help. Lord, we are definitely in need of hearing from you. God, we need to be like-minded, Lord, in the idea that we need to have the mind of Christ. And Lord, and we see in this story that because someone did not get their way, it caused bitterness. Lord, because of the bitterness, it caused anger. And because of the anger, Lord, it caused death. Lord, we pray that you help us this morning. Help us to look deep inside and make sure there's nothing that is holding back our worship and our fellowship with you, that we are doing things in a way that's honoring and pleasing and obeying in your sight and according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Say, Pastor, this is kind of an odd message you have on a Sunday morning. Why in the world are we talking about anger? And why in the world are we talking about bitterness? Well, the Bible speaks much about it. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You say, Pastor, there you go. He says, be angry. Well, there's talking about having a righteous type of anger. There's different forms of anger. What we're talking about here is the wrath that Cain had. And he says, the Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Proverbs 14:17 says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. You know, a man that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. And we're going to look at this passage of Scripture today, and we're going to see how anger causes us to do some things that we would never ever consider doing if we did not let anger creep up and build up in our lives. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. And so if you have something that you're angry about, or you have something that you have an anger problem, the Bible says that anger resteth in the bosom of fools. So let's look at this, and let's kind of look at some different things here this morning. First thing I'd like to look at is what Cain was angry about. What Cain was angry about. We hear in the story here, there's two sacrifices. And the verse that I think describes the story of Cain better than any other verse in all the Bible is found in Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, you know what? Cain knew what God wanted him to do. Cain knew that God wanted him to bring a sacrifice. Cain knew how he was supposed to bring that sacrifice. I'm going to look at that in a second. But Cain said, no, I'm going to do things my way. I'm going to do things the way I think they should be done. And Cain becomes angered because of the fact that he does not get his way. And what we have here is the first false religion. Remember, the book of Genesis is a bunch of firsts. You have the first son born there. You have the second son born there. You might have the first set of twins born there. You have the first family and how they're acting outside the Garden of Eden. Here, you have the first murder. You have the first death of a human. But here in this story, we see Cain saying, you know what? I know God's way, but I'm going to go and try to work my way to God on my own merit. And that's what false religion is. Every other religion in the world besides Christianity will tell you, you have to work your way to heaven. You have to continue on working and working and working to try to gain favor of God. And Christianity is the only place that God through God, Jesus Christ has done the work for us. All we have to do is accept and receive the work and the finished work on the cross. But Cain did not want to have anything to do with the bloody sacrifice that God was asking for. Cain wanted to bring his own sacrifice. He wanted to do things his way. Jude, verse number 11 says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain." What do you mean by the way of Cain? That means any individual that does not come to God in faith, but instead to try to find another way to God on their own merit or by their own work. This verse describes the life of those who live not by faith, but who walk after the flesh. And where in the Bible does it say, you say, well, where in the Bible does it say that Cain was supposed to bring the offering a certain way? You know, where do you see that? We just read that passage of Scripture. We don't see God giving them the breakdown on how to do it. Well, first of all, I believe his parents told him. Could you imagine what Adam and Eve had the opportunity to teach their kids? I know nowadays, and we see them sitting them on their knees. We don't know what they did back then. This was the first kids. Imagine the hope that was given here. You know, there was the tragedy of the garden, the fall of man. They're kicked out of the garden, and then they had this first child. The excitement that must have been there. All the different things they had to learn. Can you imagine being the first person to ever have a child and watching them grow? And, I mean, the excitement there. But I'm sure that Adam and Eve taught them many things. Taught them about the fall in the garden. I'm sure Eve says, make sure you don't listen to the devil. Make sure you watch out for serpents. Make sure you don't listen to the Satan. I'm sure Adam told him about the sacrifice that was given and the killing of the innocent animal and how they were clothed with the skins of the animal. But we know even for more stronger evidence of this, in Hebrews chapter number 11, there's testimony given about Abel. The Bible says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Say, what does that prove? It says that Abel did it by what? By faith Abel offered. And how do we get faith? The Bible tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing. Right? And hearing by the word of God. So we can reasonably come to the conclusion here. Cain, Abel brought their sacrifices. Abel did it by faith. God, and how do you get faith? Is by hearing from God and then living by what you hear from God. So Abel brings a sacrifice. He offers the sacrifice the way God intended it. Cain instead wants to do things his own way. Now, I'm not trying to pick on Cain here. I'm just saying one was obedient and one was disobedient. I think that you imagine these two young men, maybe this was their first official sacrifice on their own. They had gotten to the point of being a young man where they no longer did it with as a family, but God spoke to them about bringing their sacrifice. And you consider the different jobs. I think Cain probably brought the best he had. Cain probably worked very hard. I know the tiller of the ground is a very noble profession. And, you know, I'm sure he brought the best of the flowers. He brought the best of the fruits. He brought the best of the vegetables. He brought everything he had. He gave his best to God. But that's the point, is that our best can never make it to God. We can't make it there on our own. I think even if you consider the two, the work and effort that Abel had put into this young sheep versus the tilling of the ground, Cain probably worked harder than Abel did. Cain probably worked and spent more time in the preparation of the ground and the planting of the ground and the harvesting of it than Abel had just put into that little animal. But I'm sure as Abel brought that little innocent animal and the best of his flock, and as he's getting it, he lays it there and he kills it. He slits his throat and the blood sheds out. We see that his heart is doing the way God wants it done. Now, Cain over here, he does his best, but his best is not good enough. And see, and that's what false religion tries to teach you. Do the best you can. You're going to be fine someday if you just do the best you can. See, that's not found in the Bible. Amen. The Bible tells us that our righteousness, our best, is filthy rags in God's eyes. And that we need Jesus Christ. See, that lamb, that bloody sacrifice that most people today will say, man, that's a disgusting, that's a blood sacrifice. We don't need to have anything to do with that blood. We don't need, you know, they reject that today. The followers of false religion, the offspring of Cain's religion, they teach that we don't want to have anything to do with the blood. But see, that blood was telling us that we're separated from God and we need something that's going to cleanse us. And that was a representation of the future Lamb of God that was coming. Both these, with all their hearts, I think they prepared both their sacrifices. Both of them probably worked hard. Both of them gave of themselves. But there was one that came God's way and there was one that went their own way. And that's the problem. And here's where the message comes into. Cain disobeys God. Cain is rejected by God. And Cain becomes angry. That's why he's angry. It's because he didn't get his way. He thought his way should be good enough. And that's what every false religion is saying. Hey, I should be good enough for you, God, to come to you any way I choose to. And that's the problem. And I like to ask some people sometimes, what are you so angry about anyway? I hear the stories, and I see people that are angry and so frustrated and so mad, and even amongst Christians and believers, and I say, why in the world are you so angry for? You haven't done things the way that God has commanded you. You haven't done things the way that God has shown you. And because things are not going right, because things are not going the way you expect it, you become angry, you become bitter, you become frustrated. And that's what's happening with Cain here. He becomes angered and frustrated because he chose not to come God's way. So the first thing is, why Cain was angry. And let's look here a little bit more as what anger does to you. Let's read a little bit of the story again. It says in verse number 4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And that just shows us that Abel listened to God. It was the firstling, talked about the fat, talked about the preparation that was needed. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth. You know what Cain thought God should have done? Cain thought that God should have based his merits and his judgment off of his work. And because of his work, God should have accepted it. You know the problem that we have today, even in Christians' lives? Sometimes people think God should change his mind, that God is not fair, and that what I'm doing should be good enough to you, God. And you know what? That is the wrong way of looking at it. That is the way of Cain. And that's what we got to understand is it's not our way. It's that we have to learn to do things God's way. Let's keep on going here. And it says, Cain was very wroth. Why did he get mad? Because he didn't get things his way. And his countenance fell. You see that you can tell when someone's angry. You can just look at their face. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall not thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. A couple things I'd like for you to look at here is dealing with anger. Says what anger does to you. That phrase, that sound in verse number 7, I really enjoy that phrase. It says, sin lieth at the door. Now, some commentators would go back and tell you that because there was a sin offering that was sit beside the door, that's what's in reference to. But I don't think that's really what they're talking about here. I think God is saying to him, look, if you don't get this straight, Cain, if you don't get this right, sin is lying at the door. Sin is waiting for you. It's sort of like putting it this way. I believe he was saying sin is like a wild beast. It was crouching down by the door, waiting to pounce on him the moment he stepped out. Now, the amazing thing here, you see in the story, God comes to Cain. You know what? Cain didn't do things God's way. Cain rejected God's way. But what does we see, like we learned a few weeks ago about the fall? God came seeking Adam and Eve. God came speaking to Adam and Eve. That was grace. God could have said, forget those two. I'm not going to have anything to do with those two. They did not obey. They did not listen. But because of God's love and because of God's grace, God approaches Cain and says, you know, why are you so mad? He says to him, if you look here what it says, he says in verse number 6, he says, why art thou so wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? He said, why are you so upset? He comes seeking him. And that Christian, when God comes to you and speaks to your heart about your bitterness, when God comes to you and speaks to your heart about your anger, when God comes and speaks to your heart about your sin, your frustrations, your jealousy, your pride, he's coming to you and say, why are you being like this? That's not the way I want you to be. God's coming and seeking. When God speaks to your heart, if God speaks to your heart today about dealing with bitterness or dealing with anger or dealing with things, that's God seeking for it to have a better relationship with you. That what does the anger do? The Bible speaks much about it. In Ephesians chapter 4, 27, it talks about anger. And then we read that in chapter 4, 26 earlier. It says, neither give place to the devil. It says, be ye angry in verse 26 and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. So what the Bible is saying there, if you become an angry person, if you let bitterness or jealousy or pride build up and live within you, that you are giving a spot for the devil in your life. And that's the one thing we don't want to do. We don't want to give the devil a place. We don't want to give the devil a spot. We don't want to give the devil an inch. But the Bible says you're giving him place in your life when you allowed bitterness and anger to sit there and build up and creep up in your life. And that's what the Bible is saying, sin lieth at the door. It's the idea that the devil is sitting there waiting, that God is talking to Cain. God is saying to Cain, look, why are you angry? You need to get things right. If thou doest well, then thou will be accepted. He is trying to convince him. He's trying to say, look, do things my way. Do things my way. But if you choose not to do things my way, if you choose to walk away from me, right outside that door, the devil is sitting there. He is waiting there. He wants to pounce on you like you were some type of an animal. You say, Pastor, that's taking it to extremes, isn't it? Well, doesn't the Bible say that the devil is a roaring lion? The Bible says he's seeking whom he may devour. Sin is not something to play around with. The devil is sitting right beside that door. God is speaking to you in here. God is trying to get your heart right. But you know what? The moment you walk away and say no to God again, you know what? The devil's sitting right out there saying, great, he's still for me. He's still on my side. I still got a place. I still got a spot to work. I still got a pigeonhole. I still got a place where I can creep into his life and mess his life up because he wouldn't do things God's way. And that's the point here. What happens? What does anger do to us? The Bible teaches us bitterness is a horrible thing. It causes people to do many hurtful and stupid things. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness. Now, that says you can't allow bitterness to stay in your life. It doesn't matter how you've been treated. It doesn't matter what the other person said. It says, lest the root, any root, just the beginning, the root part, springing up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Remember what we read earlier. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Consider Cain, who would not shed the blood of an animal, but his anger caused him to shed the blood of his own brother. You know, he didn't want to have anything to do with that bloody sacrifice, but he had no problem taking out a knife and slaying his brother. Say, how in the world do you know he slayed his brother? I don't really know, but he says he slew his brother, and that's the only thing they ever saw death through that way. From the death of the animals. No, he said, I can't do that because it's blood. I don't have anything to do with the blood. It's disgusting. But he's willing to kill his own brother. You think about it all throughout the Bible. We see other extremes where anger led them to doing things that they would never probably would ever consider doing. Think about Joseph's brothers, how in their life they became so angry and so bitter and so jealous they couldn't even talk peacefully with their brothers. But instead of getting it right, instead of approaching their fathers, instead of going to God their father, what do? They throw them in the pit. They talk about slaying him, and instead, they sell him into slavery. You think about Jonah, who wanted a whole city destroyed. Even though Jonah had been given a second chance, even though Jonah had been shown forgiveness, even though Jonah had made things right with God, this whole city turns and repents. Jonah goes up on the side of the hill, but because of his bitterness and because of his anger, what does he do? He still sits up there and waits for God to destroy the city. You think about Saul. He continued wasting his life trying to kill David because of his pride and jealousy. This is what leads to anger if you let it lay in your life. The devil's looking for a spot to where he can get in. You know the spot he can get in into many Christian lives? You know what? I got to be honest with you. Booze is not going to attract many of you. Some of you have probably never touched it. And those that have touched it know that they should never have. You know, the pornography ring might not grab many of you. You know, drugs, going down and buying some crack on one of the street corners might not really grab any of your attention. You might never ever be convicted, never be tempted with that. You may never be tempted with having an affair. You may never be tempted with smoking cigarettes. You may never be tempted to do gay or homosexual things. But you know, one of the things that comes in the most Christians' lives that the devil tries to tempt us with is by holding bitterness and letting that become a foothold in the life. See, when you do that, you give a place to the devil, and that's when anger comes, and then we see the results. We see, I don't think Cain would have ever killed his brother if he was in the right mindset. The Bible says, an angry man stirreth up trouble. Anger and bitterness will destroy you and all those that are around. Why is your countenance fallen? You see it in verse number 5. God not only says, why are you so wroth? Why art thou so wroth? But he says, why is thy countenance fallen? You know what? You can tell when someone's angry. You ever ask somebody, what are you mad about? And they're like, I'm not mad about anything. You know, okay, we'll ask you later. And you walk away. You can see it on the face of some people. Now, I agree some people have more of a stoic look. I agree some people have different facial features. And some people just never look happy. And that's just the way they look. But you know what? You can tell when someone's angry, when someone's mad. You can tell when someone's got a problem. And that's all over you. And God sees it. His countenance fell. He was angry. He was mad. And I want you to understand that what does anger do to you? Or what does bitterness do to you? The most important thing is it gives a place to the devil. The God says, look, he's talking to Cain. This is grace. He's saying to Cain, look, why are you doing this? And then he says, look, if you walk away from me again, the devil's just waiting right out the door. He wants to hit you hard. God wants you to get it right. The devil's just waiting for you to get done. Third thing I want you to see, and this will be the last thing. What God wants us to do. What God wants us to do. Look at verse number 7. Verse number 7, the Bible says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. Now, I don't know about you, but this is grace again. This is the amazing part of the story. God comes to him and he says, look, if you're willing to do what's right, if you're willing to get it right, he says, I won't even hold it against you. You went, you disobeyed me, you worked, you spent all this time, and you in your own time, in your own way, brought this sacrifice and said, I know more and I know better than God, and I will do things my own way, not care what God thinks. And God says, look, if you're willing to get it right, if you're willing to do it, he says, won't you be accepted also? Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that's grace, that's mercy. What did Cain deserve? Cain probably deserved to, I don't know, to never have the chance to get things right. Cain should have said, okay, Cain, you did it wrong, head on out. But no, God comes looking. And you say, I don't care if you have anger in your heart or you have bitterness or you have jealousy or pride or things that are building up inside you. God's saying, look, if you're willing to get it right, if you're willing to confess it, if you're willing to forsake it, we'll call it even. Isn't that wonderful? He's saying, if you're willing to confess it, I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'll be like it'll be like you had never ever sinned. Isn't that awesome? That's what he's telling him here. He's saying to him, if you do well, it says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. Isn't that grace? He came to him again and he says, look, if you're willing to do what's right, I'm willing to call it even. You know, the devil's looking out there. He's waiting out the door. He wants to pounce on you. He wants to wreck your life. You know, we looked last Sunday night where anger explodes, and what it becomes, it becomes clamor, it becomes evil speaking, it becomes malice, it becomes an individual that nobody wants to be around. But God's saying, here, look, let's get things right. But if you say no, the devil's just waiting to hit you hard again. Now, so what does God want us to do? Number one, I believe God wants us to obey. That's what he's saying. If thou doest well, if you're just willing to be obedient to me. And Deuteronomy has this famous verses. It says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you obey not the commandments of the Lord your God. That's what God's saying. Look, Cain, I'm giving you a chance here. If you're willing to do what's right, you're willing to obey, you're going to be accepted too. He says, but if you don't, you're going to be cursed. Christian, you say, well, what? You say, look, I don't know what to do, preacher. I'm just overwhelmed. I got all this stuff inside me. What am I supposed to do with it? We're supposed to obey. We're supposed to give it over to the Lord. What does the Bible tell us? It tells us to be kind one to another. The Bible tells us to be tenderhearted. The Bible tells us to be forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Now, I want you to see the next part of the story. Cain goes and he does not listen. Cain does not get right. You say, Pastor, you're just making a big deal out of that illustration. No, sin was lying at the door. God knew what Cain was going to, God knew what was going to happen. God knew that Cain was going to go farther than he ever thought he would have gone. Cain walks away from God. And it says in verse number 8, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. God warned him, says, look, it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get bad. It's going to get really bad. You're not going to like what's going to happen. That's the truth about bitterness, truth about anger and pride. You're not going to like the way things turn out. You're not going to like the person you are. You know what? He walks right out, walks right away, and the devil takes and they kill him. And let's look here what it says in verse number 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, this is grace again. I don't know about you, but God's coming to Cain again. God is speaking to Cain here. God is, he could have slew Cain himself. He says, is this what you're going to do with my creation? Forget it. God comes to him and asks him. He says, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Cain doesn't sit there and repent. Cain doesn't turn around and become sorrowful. He says, you know what, Lord, you're right. The anger was inside of me. I should have dealt with it. I should have took care of it. God, can you please forgive me? Can you please show me mercy? He doesn't become sorrowful. He doesn't become repentive. You know what he does? He lies to God and says, I don't know. He said, and he once again, he says, am I my brother's keeper? Now, Christian, this is what happens. Pay attention. This is what happens when we let anger and bitterness build up into us. God comes seeking to us. God comes telling us, look, you need to do this right. And what we need to do is be sorrowful. What we need to do is be repentive. But you know what? What we do is we lie to God and say, nope, there's nothing wrong. I'm not angry. There's no bitterness here. I'm dealing with it just fine. Even though the anger gets oozing right out of us. You know, the pride is all so built up inside of us that we think our rights and what we do is to be good enough to God and good enough for everybody else. But what does God want us to do? He wants us to obey. Secondly, he wants us to be sorrowful and repentive when we sin. The sad thing in this story is you see that the Lord said unto Cain in verse number 9, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, and my brother's keeper. And he said in verse number 10, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. You know, at this point in time, maybe Cain wasn't the smartest guy in the world. Maybe he thought he could hide it from God, like Adam and Eve thought they could hide. But when God says to him that he knows he shed his brother's blood, wouldn't you think that Cain would turn around and fall to his knees and say he's sorry? No. And said in verse number 13, what does he do? He complains about his punishment. Isn't that true, Christians? Don't we turn around and say, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? God, why can't you stop? You know, he says to him, he says, my punishment is greater than I can bear. He's worried about himself. He's worried about what's going to happen. He's not sorrowful at all. He's not repentive at all. He doesn't want to get right with God. He doesn't want to have a right relationship with God. He could care less what God thinks. And he says, look, you can't do this to me. And that's what we have in the world today. We have so many people in false religion coming to God saying, God, what I give you should be good enough. And someday they're going to say, you can't do this to me. But Christians, I'm more worried about you right now. It's because that spot that many times grabs a hold and the devil takes a hold of as a spot of bitterness and anger and pride, it all mixes together. Why do we become bitter? It's because someone stepped on our feelings. And in our pride, we feel like we shouldn't be treated that way. And we let that bitterness harbor out to where we become anger, to where we can't, like Joseph's brothers, talk to somebody peacefully. We can't even look at certain people. All we can do is just hope to make it through when they're around. That is not the way Christianity is supposed to be. That is not the way church is supposed to be. That's not it. And that's what anger and bitterness will do to you. So let me ask you this question. Why are you so angry? You say, Pastor, I'm not angry. Well, then is there something inside your heart that is causing some bitterness or causing a little bit of pride? Because what God is telling us through this story is God is coming to you and saying, look, you need to work on this. And he's saying, if you don't get it right, you're going to give a place to the devil, according to what it says in Ephesians. You're giving place to the devil. And if you don't get it right, the devil's waiting right at the door. Sin lieth at the door. Greater and worse things are ahead. He said, well, I can deal with this little pet sin. I can deal with this little bit of bitterness. I can deal with this little bit of anger. I can deal with this little bit of pride. And God's saying, no, you can't. That's what he was telling Cain. He says, look, as soon as you walk away, something worse is going to happen. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to show you what happens in the Bible. He said, I'm not going to go kill my brother. You don't know what's going to happen if you get let sin in. You don't know what's going to happen when the devil pounces on you. You don't know what's going to happen when you leave yourself open to attack. God promises us many things in his word. But what does he say? He promises you a blessing when you're obedient. There's going to be a curse if you do what's wrong. God's trying to win you back. God wants a better relationship with you. God doesn't want the broken fellowship. God came seeking Adam and Eve. He came seeking Cain, saying, Lord, why are you so mad? Why are you letting this bother you? You did something wrong. Now grow up and go do well. Go get it right. Stop acting like this and do what I've asked you to do. And then Cain says, nope, I want to do things my way. God says, it's going to cost you something. Say, I can handle it. But in the end, he's saying, that's not fair. You can't do this to me. Christian, none of us are going to like what your life is going to be like if you allow sin in and you allow the devil in. This morning, I know we didn't speak much about salvation, but the picture of the lamb on the sacrifice, we can only come to God his way. You know what God's way is? God's way is through Jesus Christ. He died on the cross, and he rose again for our salvation. If you're here this morning and you're unsaved, maybe you never asked Jesus Christ into your heart as your Savior, there is a horrible day headed for you. We talked about it in Sunday school class. We talked about in Sunday school class how the destruction that was headed towards during the time of the tribulation, and when at the end of the tribulation, when Jesus Christ was coming back, there is no hope for those that are lost and without Christ. And so this morning, I want you to understand this and get this and remember this. If you need Christ, Cain's best wasn't even close. Your best won't even be close. We need Christ and what he did for us. Christian, if there's something in your heart, some type of sin that you've been dealing with, don't allow it to stay there. God's speaking to your heart as he came to Cain and says, look, why are you so mad? Or why are you still dealing with this? Why are you not coming over time? If you do well, if you would just get it right, he says, we'll accept you too. If you just confess it and forsake it, we'll call it even. I'll cleanse you from the unrighteousness. But in the end, God came again after this great sin, seeking. I think he was seeking for Cain to be sorrowful. I think he was seeking for Cain's repentance. Everywhere else in the Bible, when someone came asking for forgiveness the right way, God was forgiving. But he didn't do it. And today we see his punishment sent away from God. He says he was going to be hidden from the face of God. And that is the punishment someday for mankind that dies without Christ. Eternally separated from God. Christian, you're not in danger of that. But you're in danger of ruining your life if you allow sin to stay in harbor. Remember, sin lieth at the door. You're giving place to the devil. God's speaking to you. He's saying, look, get it right. If thou doest well, and for us, if we'll confess and forsake our sin, he's going to accept it. He's going to say, okay. He's going to cleanse you. This morning, what's holding you back? And I know I said, why are you so angry? But we can replace that word angry with whatever type of sin that you're struggling with. That's God saying that. That's not me. Why are you still dealing with, you fill in what you're struggling with. God says, if you do well, you'll be accepted. You do what's right, he wants a better fellowship with you. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. This morning, I pray that God's spoken to your heart the way he's spoken to mine. I don't want to give the devil a place.